Love a good Christmas light display, right? It's that time of year. We love Christmas lights. As you can tell, we have gone for a more conservative approach up here, minus maybe the mic stands and stuff. We thought we would start small with Christmas lights, but periodically as the season continues and progresses, we're going to add a little bit more and a little bit more, and these lights are going to shine a little bit brighter and a little bit brighter. And we thought it would just be a fun way to kind of build anticipation and mark the countdown to the big day that comes at the end of this month. We love Christmas. We want to celebrate the coming of Christ. It's just a way to build excitement. Not everybody is as conservative with their Christmas light displays, though. You know, you can turn on the Travel Channel or Discovery Channel or something, and this time of year, they're going to be showing specials about the best Christmas light displays in various regions, and I did just a quick Google search this week just to see some of the crazy displays that people come up with. I found this one. This is from a street in Disney World in Orlando. That's just one street in the park, and there are just thousands and thousands of lights there, and when I see something like that, I have a couple different reactions. First of all, I'm kind of envious because I'm not a very creative person. And so when I see something like that, I'm like, how did you dream that up? And how do you have so much time to do something like that? And maybe it's just the way that I'm wired, pun intended. But maybe, you know, my first thought also goes to, how much does something like that cost? I start trying to crunch the numbers in my head. And so I did a little digging around to see if I could find some figures. I couldn't find anything on this particular display, but I did come across some interesting information on the energy costs associated with Christmas lights in our country. And what I found is pretty incredible. In the month of December, on just Christmas lights, we use more electricity in this country than the entire nations of El Salvador or Ethiopia use in an entire calendar year. 6.63 billion kilowatt hours. And just to put into perspective what that means, that's enough to power 14 million refrigerators. And all of this energy costs us, on average, $795 million every single year. We love Christmas lights, folks. We love Christmas lights a lot, and we're willing to pay that price year after year because there's something beautiful about a display of light shining in the dark. That's why we look at the stars at night, and that's why we get lost in a campfire or stare at the fireplace on a cold day. That's why we do silly things like bring dead trees into our homes and wrap them in live wire and light bulbs as if it's not a fire hazard. You know, we love light. There's something about it that appeals to every one of us. And I think that's why a lot of us are going to resonate with the series that we're starting today. Starting a new series is called Shine, and it's all about the light. Living in it, walking in it, shining with it. And to guide us in the series, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 John. It's a tiny letter towards the end of the New Testament, towards the back of your Bible. And in fact, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, why don't you open them up to 1 John chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. As always, you can follow along on the screen behind. Or even better, you might download the YouVersion Bible app on your phone or your tablet and pull it open there. You can get the notes from the sermons and everything. It's a pretty handy app to have. Whatever avenue you choose, you're going to be in the book of 1 John chapter 1 this morning. Now, 1 John is a letter written to an ancient group of Christians a long, long time ago. And they're going through a couple different issues. They're dealing with things, and we'll get into all that as the series progresses. But this morning, I just want to draw attention to the way that this letter uses these images of light and dark. It makes pretty effective use of that dualism. And I think for good reason, because light is a great image to help us understand who God is and how to walk with him. Light is just this great, this image, this metaphor of who God is and how to walk with him. I mean, you just think about a few facts about light for a minute. You know, light is essential to life. All those plants out there that either we eat directly or indirectly through the tasty animals that we cook up. I'm sorry if you're an animal lover. We need light to grow those things. Light means life. We had this plant in our basement, and I know that sounds like a funny place to put a plant, but our neighbor had given us this plant a couple years back, and it was an amaryllis or something. I don't know much about plants. You're going to find that out pretty quickly. But it was this plant that was supposed to die every year and then come back every year, just a real hardy thing. We stood it in the basement one winter, and I just kind of forgot about it, really. And then we went down there mid-spring, and we found this really big stalky plant, like 2 foot long, was just stretching and craning, trying to catch some of the light that was shining in through our basement window. Then a couple days later, we had a bunch of overcast days. That plant dropped dead on the basement floor. Light meant life for that plant, and darkness meant death. And because of this circle of life that we're all a part of, you know, like we said, those plants, they feed animals, we feed off of animals. Light means life for all of us. Light also sustains life. There are a lot of health benefits to being in the light. For example, we all need vitamin D for our bodies to function optimally, that's the word. You know, and vitamin D, it helps us process and metabolize calcium and make use of it. It gives us strong bones and so on, especially important for children. But our bodies don't produce this naturally. Well, they kind of do. But we can't eat enough vitamin D to get the right amount. So what our skin does is pretty incredible. God designed us in such a way that when we go outside and we're exposed to sunlight, our skin synthesizes the vitamin D that we need. Light sustains our life. It also guides our circadian rhythms, those rhythms by which our sleep cycle operates. You know, in the morning, if it's not your alarm clock that wakes you up, it's probably the sun streaming in through the window. And when that sunlight shines on your body, your respiration actually quickens and your mind starts to fire a little faster as you wake up. And the light is guiding you into this awakened state where you can seize the day refreshed and ready to go, because that's how we all get out of bed in the morning, right? No, but light plays a part in waking us up. And then in the evening, when the sun sets and darkness sets in, our heart rate, our respiration, it all kind of slows down a little bit as we relax and we get ready for a restful night's sleep. That healthy sleep cycle is essential for a good metabolism. It's essential for psychological health. You know, light sustains our lives in a lot of ways. Light is also a cleansing agent. Now, UV rays from the sun kill a lot of microbial life. That's why when you hang your sheets out to dry on the clothesline, they smell really fresh and clean. It's because that sunlight has just killed millions and millions of cells of odor-causing bacteria and icky stuff living in all the fabric in our house, which sounds really gross when you say it like that. But light cleanses, sanitizes. Light also promotes truth, and this is a really interesting fact. There's this experiment that was done at the University of North Carolina over on Chapel Hill. They took 84 college students, and they divided them up randomly between two rooms, and these rooms were identical in every way except for one key factor, the amount of light in the room. In one room, there were 12 fluorescent lights, in the other, there were only 4, significantly darker. And then they had these students perform a series of complicated math problems. They told them, for every problem you correctly solve in the allotted time, we will pay you 50 cents. And then when the time had passed, these students were allowed to self-report the results, meaning it was incredibly easy for them to lie and get money they had not earned. And the results were really interesting. In the well-lit room, they found 24% of students lied, about 1 in 4, which sounds like a lot. Until you compare it to the student from the dimly lit room, 61% of students in that room lied and made unearned money. The only difference between the two rooms was the amount of light there. Light reduced dishonesty by 37%. If I did my math right, 37, 31. I didn't take math, don't worry about it. Light promotes truth. Light is an incredibly essential part of our lives. It's so helpful and so beneficial in so many ways. So it's probably not surprising then that we find these words in the opening chapter of John, or 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." God is light. Now, we shouldn't take that in an overly literal way, like he's not the literal sunlight coming down. This is a metaphor, obviously, but it's a pretty apt metaphor. Because if you're trying to describe who God is and what he's like, light does a pretty good job. God is all about life. He created life. He sustains life. He promotes life. He cleanses. God promotes the truth. God, in so many ways, is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Now, in a metaphorical sense, darkness would be everything opposite light. If light promotes life, darkness promotes death. That plant in my basement, remember? Dead because of the dark. If light sustains life, darkness then diminishes life. There's some health drawbacks and risks associated with a lack of sunlight You know, you stand an increased risk of depression, of insomnia, in some cases hair loss. There's a couple of us in here thinking, I need more sun. In children, you stand an increased risk of rickets, wibbly wobbly bones that aren't strong enough. A lack of light means a lack of health. Darkness diminishes life. If light cleanses, then darkness sullies. You think about what happens when you take a slice of bread and you put it in the pantry or in a dark cabinet or something. Mold sets in. Decay sets in. Nasty stuff thrives in the dark. If light promotes truth, darkness conceals it. Light and dark, gang, they just don't mix. It's not natural. I was in Merrimack Caverns down in the Ozarks, Missouri one time. And if you've never been there, it's just kind of this commercial cave they send tours through all the time. And they give you a little history on the stalagmites. And this stalactite is, you know, this many thousand years old. And they give you a little history on the cave and what it was used for. And this whole time, each of these caverns are lit up with these lights. But when you get to kind of the center of the cave, they just want to demonstrate for you how dark it really is in there. So they shut off all the lights. You ever been in a cave with no light before? It is so dark. You literally can't see your hand in front of your face. And then they turn those lights on, and you could see everything. Light and dark, they don't coexist in the same space at the same time. They don't mix. It is either one or the other. So it's not surprising then that we read, if God is light and he is all of these things, in him there is no darkness and none of the ways of darkness. He's just good. And I hope you're tracking with me here as we're talking about God, because we've just got this beautiful and simple description of who he is and what he's like. And it's important that we keep that in the back of our minds, because God's word is about to confront us in a pretty abrupt and unapologetic way. And whenever that happens, there's almost like this instinct in people. We want to throw up the guard and say, not me. This is talking to somebody else. This is talking to somebody on the other side of the room, but not me. I'm good. But I'm telling you this morning, gang, this word is not talking to somebody else. It's talking to me. And it's talking to you. I wrote this sermon plan out like 6 months ago or so. So I knew I was going to be preaching on this sermon today, but it wasn't until I sat down and started reading the passage and writing it out that God really put it on my heart and said, Jordan, you need to pray for your people more, because there are people that need to hear this message, but they're not going to want to hear this message. And there will be some of us this morning that are going to be wrestling with these words, because God is going to confront us. And sometimes those uncomfortable realities are things we just rather push to the side and ignore. And so I encourage you, remember from who these words come. This is God who is light. He's about life. He's about sustaining life. He's about truth. This is the challenge that he gives to us this morning. It is impossible to walk in the light and at the same time walk in the darkness. It is impossible to walk in the light and try to walk in the darkness at the same time. They don't mix, gang. Our passage puts it like this in verses 6 and 7. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, meaning if we claim to know God, to walk with God, to love God, to be following him, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. God is light. In him there is no darkness, and there are none of the ways of darkness. But there are some of us in here this morning, and maybe a lot of us, I don't know, that are saying, I walk with God, I follow God, I believe God, I trust God, and yet at the same time, there's part of our heart that is holding on to darkness. And we're hiding it. We're giving it a home in our lives. Now, we probably need to define, what does this passage mean when it talks about darkness, and what doesn't it mean? Okay, darkness here is not talking about our struggle against sinfulness. Okay, sin is an unfortunate part of the human condition. We wrestle with it. We fight against it. We try all of our might to avoid it. But the fact is, we're humans. We have sinned. We're all gonna sin again. We need the grace of Jesus in our lives every single day. And if we believe verse 7, that's true even when we walk in the light. I mean, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. We need Jesus every day, even when we're walking in the light. So this isn't talking about sin that we wrestle with and we fight against. This isn't dealing with our struggle against temptation. In fact, darkness could be defined as an absence of struggle, an absence of resistance. It's when we welcome darkness and sin into our lives that we're walking in darkness, as 1 John describes it here. It's when we say, yes, I'm just going to resign myself over to it. Yes, this is just part of my life. It's when we give sin a home and we set a place at the table and we just welcome it with open arms. That's what Scripture is referring to when it says walking in darkness. Just by example, my son Levi, he's at this age where I have the impression that he kind of understands there are things mom and dad don't want me to do. And I know this because he'll be doing one of these forbidden things. Right now, his thing is reaching on top of the kitchen counter and trying to pull dishes down. And we will say, no, no, no. And he will stop what he's doing. And he will say, no, 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 as he just kind of walks away. And I'm like, okay, he has some semblance of an idea here that this is not something he should do. But I know this is also true because there are sometimes we say, no, no, no. And he's reaching for those dishes. But he doesn't stop. He just keeps pulling them down. And as he does it, he says, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. And he just doesn't stop. I'm like, all right, man, you have some idea that you shouldn't be doing this. And sometimes we're the same way. Because we know there are things that God has said, don't do this stuff. Don't let that junk into your heart and into your mind. Don't treat people that way. I created you for something better than this. Don't go down that path. We know there are things that God has said no, no, no to. But we choose to do them anyway, and we choose to participate, and we choose to welcome them into our lives. And our passage here is pretty clear. If we claim, I walk with God, I follow God, I love God, and yet we're welcoming darkness into our hearts, there is a deception taking place. He says, we lie. What's interesting is who we're actually lying to. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, we need to pause here. We need to explore a little bit because there are several different ways in which we sometimes lie about darkness in our lives, or ways that we make exceptions or excuses for darkness in our lives. And we just need to face it head on and be honest about it. Sometimes we just deny that there's darkness in our lives. You know, we say, I'm fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. This is not a big deal. There's a man that we used to go to church with. He was a son-in-law of a church member, and he came once in a while. But there's one Sunday where he and his wife came. It was kind of unexpected, and so I was surprised to see them. And then after church, my house was right next to the church where we used to serve. My doorbell rang after lunch, and that wasn't common, so I was like, what's up? So I went out, and here's this guy, and he was visibly shaken, which was unusual because he was kind of a gruff, tough guy. He was a, you know, gearhead. He's always working on cars, just kind of guy. But I could tell something was up, and he said, hey, can we talk? And so we went next door to my office, and when we got in there, he just began to sob. And he kept saying over and over, I can't do it. I need help. I can't do this on my own. And look, if you ever come to me in an emotional state, I will try my darndest to love on you, but like I'm just not a good comforter, especially when I didn't expect this. So I was just like, cry it out, man. Go ahead. And he did. And eventually he regained his composure. And that's when we started to talk, and he shared how his alcohol addiction was basically just destroying his life. His wife was about to leave him. His liver was shot. He had tried to quit, but he was so addicted that like he got physically nauseous, and his body just burned like it was on fire unless he drank. He was a man that was broken and at the end of his rope. But for years and years and years prior to this, he just kept pretending like there was nothing wrong. I mean, yeah, I drink too much once in a while. And yeah, once in a while, I say nasty things that hurt people I care about. And sometimes I don't make it home because I pass out at the bar, but I've never been violent with anybody, and I don't drive drunk. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm fine. But obviously, he was not fine because he has welcomed this stuff into his life that was destroying him and tearing him apart and killing him and killing the people closest to him. Everything was not fine. This was not nothing. And maybe we can resonate with him. Maybe there's darkness in our lives where we say, this is not a big deal. This is nothing. I'm not doing anything wrong. When all the while we know, we just keep kicking the can down the road. Eventually there is a piper to pay, and this stuff will rear its ugly face. We pretend that, you know, it's not a big deal that I just look at a little bit of porn. It's not a big thing. Or you know, I gossip a little bit. That's not a big thing. It's not like I'm selling drugs on the street corner. There are things that we have harbored in our hearts that we just deny as if they're not a big deal. But they are. They're the things that separate us from God. They're the ways of darkness. But sometimes we don't deny truth. Sometimes we accept darkness. Sometimes we accept that we have darkness in our lives, but we just trivialize it. We downplay it. We say, it's not that big a deal, okay? People do way worse things. God's just going to forgive me anyway. But sometimes the things that we think are little are actually not that little at all. For example, there's this medical condition called Terry's nails. It's a slight discoloration on your fingernails. It's just this thin pink band that kind of shows up at the tip. And it doesn't look like much. It's just a discoloration. And so a lot of people just ignore it, which is why some people with Terry nails end up dead. Because this seemingly small thing is actually a warning sign of liver failure and kidney disease and congestive heart failure, pretty serious and lethal conditions. What seems like such a small thing is actually not small at all. And sometimes that's true of the sin and the darkness that we harbor in our lives. We say, it's just a small thing. You know, I'm a little bitter at that person. I hold on to things and I stew about them, but it's not that big a deal, right? I mean, yeah, I have a hard time controlling my anger, and sometimes I say things I regret later on, but it's not that big a deal, right? I mean, people do way worse things out there, but these small things are the things that destroy marriages and end careers and ruin reputations. They're not small, gang. They're darkness. And sometimes we welcome them into our hearts. And other times, we accept there's darkness in my life, but I've got a reason for it. I can justify this thing in my life. You know, because you don't know my story. You don't know where I've been from. There's a good reason why, I'm the exception. I'm allowed to have darkness here. There was a woman in Italy back in 2009. She murdered her sister, burned up her body, and then tried to kill her parents. Just heinous crimes, right? And she was, found. She was tried. She was found guilty, obviously. Life in prison. But then her lawyer appealed. He said, look, she has slight abnormalities in certain sections of her brain that leave her more prone to aggression and make her more impulsive. She couldn't help doing these things. She can't be held responsible for this. It's not her fault. Her brain made her do it. And the judge bought it, reduced her sentence to 20 years, which means in somewhere between 9 and 11 years, again, I'm not good at math, she'll walk the streets again. That's crazy, right? And neurologists think that's crazy, too, because while they admit, slight abnormalities like that, they can sometimes make people more aggressive. To make that kind of connection is just irresponsible. But sometimes we make that same kind of irresponsible connection when it comes to darkness in our lives. Because there's a good reason why I can harbor this stuff. There's a good reason. Sometimes we blame it on heredity. You know, anger just runs in my family. I can't help it when I fly off the handle and say hurtful things. Or sometimes we blame it on our environment. You know, I was brought up to think or to believe, fill in the blank. And sometimes we just try to blame it on our experiences. Again, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know my story. There's a good reason why I do this or do that or why I'm allowed to harbor this darkness in my life. And you're right, I don't know your story. But God does. In fact, he knows everybody's story, and he knows everybody has a story, and yet he calls everyone to leave the ways of darkness behind and to walk in the light. And so at this point in the sermon, there are some of us probably sitting here saying, this is the truth, because I know it, because I've been there, and I've left darkness behind, and I'm free today. There are some of us who are sitting here sweating bullets thinking, I hope he doesn't know, because there's something in your life that you're trying to keep concealed. And still, there are others of us in here this morning who are probably thinking, I don't need to listen to this. What a judgmental sermon. What a prude up there on stage saying all these things. Like he's some sort of holier than that. Look, I got sin in my life like everybody else, and I need Jesus every day like everybody else. If you are one of those voices this morning, I am encouraging you to remember where these words come from. It's from God, who is light. God, who is all about promoting life. It's all about sustaining life. God, who is about cleansing. God who is about promoting truth, his desire is not to crush us. And his desire is not to condemn us. His desire is not to saddle us with guilt and shame. His desire is to call us out of darkness. Sometimes it's not fun being confronted with uncomfortable realities. But God has a good and holy purpose and plan for it. And we see just a hint of it. We're reminded of God's good intention. Chapter 2, verse 1, if you just look back at our passage. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, there was a time when we once all walked in darkness and sin, and we were lost, and we were cut off from God because of the things that we harbored in our hearts. You know, maybe it was lust, maybe it was greed or anger or bitterness, maybe it was something else entirely. I don't know, but I do know that we all were stuck in this place we didn't want to be, a place of death and decay and of falsehood and deception. And God sought us out. He sent his son into this world to find us and to cleanse us and to forgive us and give us a new light and a life and to bring us into the light. That's the work of Jesus. It's summed up in the word atone there in our passage. That's a really interesting word. It's a 16th century English word with a really, really boring origin story. They literally just took the word at and one and smashed it together. And the word means to make or to be at one. Or if we want to put it contextually, to be reconciled. That's what Jesus did for us. He sought us out, snatched us out of darkness, and made us one with God, giving us peace and life and salvation. This is the God who confronts us with uncomfortable realities, not to crush us, but to call us out of darkness, that we might shine as the people he has created us in Christ Jesus to be, a people that this world stands up and takes notice of because there is something different about them. And if we're going to shine the way that God desires for us to shine, then there's a step to be taken this morning. For some of us, it's that first step in which we say, Jesus, I need you in my life to wash me and cleanse me. I need that life that only you can give. I want to follow you and I want to shine because of your work and your presence in my life. And if that's you this morning, there's a connection card on the back of the chair with your name on it. I want to encourage you, fill that thing out. And on the back left-hand side, there's a column of options all about starting a relationship with Jesus. I encourage you to fill that out. As the offering plate comes by at the end of service, put it in there because we want to get in contact with you. We want to talk with you about faithfulness and baptism and about discipleship and what it means to walk with Christ in this life and to shine. For some of us, though, there might be a different step to be taken. Maybe we've accepted Christ in our lives, but we've made this little home for darkness in our hearts. If that's you, then this morning the step that we have to take is one of repentance. It's one where we say, God, search my heart. Point out any darkness in there because I don't want to hold on to it. I don't want to harbor it. I don't want to deny it. I don't want to trivialize it. I don't want to justify it anymore. I want to abandon it. And I want to be filled with your life. I want to be filled with your light. And I want to shine the way that you desire me to shine, to know all of the blessing and all of the good and all of the joy and the hope that comes along with it. God, I'm changing my ways today. And if that's the step you need to take this morning, then I want to encourage you to fill out a connection card too. You can mark the little box that says, I want to talk to a pastor. You can write in the margins. I don't care what you do. Just as long as you let us know, I want to make a step today and I want to shine because we want to pray with you and we want to encourage you and we want to help you find a game plan for leaving darkness behind and walking in the light that God has called us to. Gang, we are a special people in that God loved us so much that he sent his son into this world to save us, to shape us, to cleanse us, and to cause us to shine. And in order for that to happen, we have to leave the ways of darkness behind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the grace and the mercy that comes through him. Thank you for cleansing us through his work on the cross and for giving us this new light and this purpose and mission of shining in this world. And Father, we thank you for challenges, as uncomfortable as they can be at times. But we know that this challenge is one that is good and will result in our good. So search us. Help us to reflect upon our hearts and our lives, to ferret out the pockets of darkness that we might be holding on to. And Father, I pray that you give us the courage to leave those ways behind, to jump headfirst into the life that you desire for us, that we might shine in this world, that people might take notice and say, there's something different about them. And I want to know what it is. Father, let Jesus be the difference in our lives. It's in his name that we pray these things. Amen.